Let's take a look at freedom today. Freedom is considered to be a very, very important thing to have. Rights, which everybody's talking about, rights are really a way to protect your freedom. If people have rights and rights are protected by law and by governmental power, then you're going to have freedom. Rights usually are the rights to do things without interference. And I think that everyone is going to put freedom on his list of things that he wants. And most people will put it pretty close to the top. Now, let me make it clear at the outset. I agree with this. I think freedom is very important. And I think that should go probably close to the top of things that we want and want to protect. But I want to know why it's important. And asking this question, I don't mean to imply that it isn't. I just want to know why it's important. And I want to ask the question in a particular way. There are two kinds of things that are important in life. Things that are important for themselves, they're important because of what they are, period. It's just good to have them, or good to be them. Then there are other things that are important because they are tools. They're means by which you can get something else. But in and of themselves, they have no importance at all. The keys to your car, those are just funny shaped hunks of metal. If they didn't open the door and start the engine of your car, you would never pay attention to them. You would just throw them away. They're nothing. But you want to use the car. The keys become very important as a means using the car. How about the car? Suppose you never had to go anywhere. Didn't get any place. Would you just, from time to time, curl up in the car because it's just so lovely and pleasant? I doubt it. Probably if you have a nice car, you have other nicer places to be than in the car. Sure. But if you have to go someplace, the car is very useful. So the car also is important because with the car, you can get something else that's important, namely going to the place you want to get or driving around. These are things that are tools. What use do you have for a screwdriver if in your world there are no screws? Does the function of a screwdriver to screw in or unscrew screws? If you haven't got any screws, the screwdriver is just a useless piece of metal. These are things that are important because they get you something else. What about money? Rectangular pieces of green paper with designs on them. Paper? Rectangular pieces of green paper? Yeah, but see, I can go and buy an automobile with that paper, or I can buy medical services with that paper, or books with that paper. Oh, then the paper becomes very important. Because it's a tool with which you can get something else that you really want, something else that's really important to you. So these are all things that are important because they are tools to get something else.
For my example, having a lot of it is just a matter of power. You just don't use it for anything.
Power. What is power exactly? Other people will do what you want?
by, even if you don't use it, you still have the power. Which means even if you don't use it for the power, you still have the power for just having
it. The money got you that.
I think that...
You know what I'm saying?
I think that you have the power to squash with one blow 150 ants. You could pile them all up into a pile right there on the desk. And with one blow, you could squash them all with one shot. But I'll bet that that power doesn't excite you very much because you're never intending to do that. You have no interest in doing that. It's completely out of your lifestyle to do something like that. So therefore, to have a power to do X, if you are never intending to do X, if you have no use for doing X, I doubt that the power to do X is really very important. Money can give you power because people, foolishly, will do what people with money want them to do. But that means you can get them to do something you want them to do. So the money, again, is producing for you something else that you want.
But even if you don't get them to do what you want to do, just the fact that you know, if you never do that, it's the fact that you know that you could, if you want to do it, you could crush that hand with it, even though you never do it. Just having that back mind that you could have it, even if you never do it, which means you know that you could walk you around if you wanted, but even though you never do it, you still have the...
Maybe.
Power.
Yeah, but even so, it is the money that gives you the power. It's because that money makes you related to other people in a way that you could manipulate them to get other things that you want. But it's not just having the money. Subtract the other people. It means nothing.
Yeah. You don't always need the money to have power. You can have power without money.
That's not relevant. Listen carefully. That's not relevant. He's saying money could be valuable because it gives you power. He's not saying it's the only thing that gives you power. You can get power in a dozen different ways. Still, each one of them could be important because it gives you power. This is a confusion between necessary and sufficient conditions. He's talking sufficient, you're talking necessary. It's apples and oranges. This is a very common, you have to think carefully. He's saying this does a job. The fact that other things could do the job doesn't mean this doesn't do the job. That's all. That's all he's saying. But I think the job is still external. What kind of thing would be important for itself? Not car keys, not the car, not money. What kind of thing could be important for itself? Not because it gets you something else, not as a tool, but just important for itself.
Chair.
Sorry?
Chair.
A chair. Chair can be important for itself? Isn't a chair for sitting on? Suppose, God forbid, you were laid up in bed and you couldn't sit, you know, you had an injury and you couldn't sit on the chair. And bang, you know, being worthless. A chair is, again, for something you can do with it. What kind of thing is it that would be important? Not because there's something else you could do with it. Okay.
Dog.
I'm looking for the simple example. There's an answer you all know. You're just not putting your head to this side of the barrel. What kind? The car keys are important because?
Runs the car.
Not for themselves. The car is important because? Gets you where you want to go. The money is important because it buys other things. These are all important as tools to get something else. Now, what kind of thing is important for itself?
Torah.
Not to get something else. Ah, you're so frum, you know. Okay, I'll give you a clue. How about pleasure?
Torah.
Pleasure.
No, not food.
Not food. If you were self-sustaining, you didn't need an input of energy, you might not eat. Unless you're eating for the... Pleasure. The pleasure is usually something, not always as we'll see, but pleasure is something which people think is important for itself. You don't think, oh, you know why I went and had that pleasure? Because! You don't hear because. I enjoyed it. Somebody asks you, why are you doing that, right? You could say, I'm doing it because I'm making money. So then you could ask, what do you want the money for? I'm doing it to get into the car. Where are you going? I'm trying to find my car keys. So you can go into the car to go where? And you say, why are you doing that? Because I enjoy it. You know, why are you doing what you enjoy? What do you mean, why? I enjoy it. That's why I'm doing it, period. I don't need any more answer than that. It's just, enjoyment is the reason for doing things.
And you didn't the pleasure stage.
Okay. I'm just talking general thoughts now. And then this guy says, so frum. So pious. Torah.
Stop it now.
I'll give you, this is obvious, and even the... You know, the Philistines will understand this. I think there's another thing which I hope that we can share the same intuition. Let's take fulfilling a promise. I promised. It's become very inconvenient to do it. But I promised. Why are you doing that? Because I promised.
Why are you doing what you promised?
Don't be stupid.
I promised. That's why I'm doing it. Why am I doing what I did, why I promised? That question, for many people, I think, doesn't arise. I mean, why am I doing it? Promising is a reason for doing things. That's why you promise. To give yourself a reason to do things. So the other person will trust you, because now you have a very strong reason for doing it.
Are you doing it so people can trust you?
No, that may not be so. Consider, and this will be a pattern now that we'll use over and over again. Imagine a person in the last 5 minutes of his life. And he's healthy enough, he's just dying. And he has the power to do a variety of things, and he's trying to figure out what to do. And he says, I promise to do X. Shall I spend my last 5 minutes doing X? I think it's reasonable. I don't say everybody would agree. I don't think there's anything in which everybody would agree. But it'd be reasonable for a person to say, well, I promised. I don't want to leave this world. Forget, I'm not talking about Olam HaBa now. I'm not talking about reward and punishment. I don't want to leave this world with that promise unfulfilled. I did promise. I gave my word. And I want to keep it. Not because they'll trust me. I'm not going to be here. I'm dying in 5 minutes. So I don't think that fulfilling promises is only for the sake of a benefit you're going to get in the future. It could be also, and I'll come to that also in a minute, but I think for, I don't know if everyone will agree, but it's a reasonable position to say, if I make a promise, I try to do it. If you ask me why I'm doing it, the answer is because I promised. And there isn't any further answer. Why are you doing what you promised? Just like, there usually isn't any further answer. Why are you doing what you enjoy? Because I enjoy it. There isn't any further reason. Now, these things which you do, you say, why are you doing X? I say, because it's X. That's why I'm doing it, period. That's the thing that's important for itself. Somebody asks, why are you doing X? You say, oh, I'm doing X because I need to get Y. Then X isn't important for itself. These have fancy words, which I'm avoiding because I know that when I use fancy words, it's happy to go to sleep. But now that you have that concept, I'll use the words. These are called in English extrinsic and intrinsic values. Extrinsic means it's a tool for something else. Intrinsic means it's important for itself. Okay? If you ever come across those words, you'll now know what they mean. But we don't really need them. We were talking about what's important for itself or important as a tool to get something else. One second. But now, just to make sure things is maximally confusing, let me point out that it doesn't divide up 50-50. It's not either or. Some things can be both. Some things can be both. Why are you listening to the music? Well, for one thing, I enjoy it. And for another thing, I'm very nervous. And this music, the enjoyment in this music calms me down. So, in this case, the enjoyment does two things. On the one hand, enjoyment is enjoyment. And that's the reason all by itself to do what I'm doing. But secondly, this kind of enjoyment has a good effect on my psychology. It's also a tool. So the very same thing can be important for itself and also important for as a tool for something else. They don't exclude one another. So you have three groups now. Things that are only important for themselves, like car keys. Things that, at least in general, could be only good for themselves, like a promise in the last 5 minutes of life, or an enjoyment in the last 5 minutes of life. And then you have things which are both important for themselves and also simultaneously a tool to get you something else that's important.
Like your promise, so people will trust you.
You can, but it's not always that way. The last 5 minutes of life, it's not so that anything will happen because you're going to be out of here.
Because you won't be able to trust you as a trustworthy person.
You're going to be gone in 5 minutes.
I expect that.
You're still talking about freedom, right? Because freedom can be
interesting. Oh, now I'm coming to freedom. Now that I've laid the groundwork, now that I've set up the house, you know, now we'll proceed to knock it. I mean, now we'll proceed to go through the rules one by one and we'll do the best we can. Now, the question is, where does freedom fit in those three categories? We've got three possibilities. Either it's only a tool for something else, or it's only important for itself, or it's both. Those are the three possibilities. And I'm going to try to show you that the truth is the least likely and the most disappointing of all three categories, that freedom is only important as a tool for something else. It has no importance for itself. Just being free has no importance. It's only important as a means to something else, as a tool to get something else. Freedom is like rectangular green pieces of paper. Freedom is like car keys. Freedom is only what you can do with it, not what it is in and of itself. Before I do that, I just want to head off, I wouldn't say it's a misunderstanding, but a mistaken feeling. Don't make a mistake. If X is important for itself, and Y is important as a means to something else, it doesn't follow that one is more important than the other. It's not a question of more or less. It's just a difference of kind. For example, what about air? Air available to breathe. Oxygen. What kind of importance does that have? Is it important as a tool for something else? Is it important for itself? Or is it important for both? What would you say?
It's pleasurable and you don't die.
Breathing is pleasurable?
You've been underwater. Okay.
Because you need it to stay alive.
Because if you also enjoy the end.
Yeah, if you hurt yourself enough, then taking away the pain is a great pleasure. But you don't have to live like that. Imagine a pill that's absorbed into your bloodstream through your stomach, and then it has a very high power dissolved oxygen in it, and it just has a time release mechanism, and it releases oxygen into the bloodstream. The red blood cells pick it up, and it distributes it around to the rest of the body. You know? But what would be the interest in breathing? Air to breathe is only valuable like car keys. It's only there, it's only important because it keeps you alive. But it's very important. If you were running out of air, how much would you trade to get some more air? Everything. Everything. Right? It's very important, even though it's only car keys, but it's very, very important. And on the other side, let's imagine the pleasure of eating one of those moldy 2-shekel candy bars. Now, that's a pleasure. And you'll enjoy it. And enjoyment is, okay, you know, it's Israeli. It's just, you know, the third class junk that they sell here. So, it's an enjoyment. But it's a very small enjoyment. Would you trade the candy bar for air? I trade a million candy bars for air, right? So when I say one is important as car keys and one is important like pleasure, don't think that one is bigger than the other. Doesn't follow that one's bigger than the other or more important than the other. Just as different types. One is important for itself, and one is important as a tool to get something else. Now I'm asking about freedom. Is freedom only important as a tool to get other things? There's no importance for itself whatsoever. That's the position I'm going to take. Or does it also have importance for itself, which I think is the only other conceivable possibility? No one thinks that it has no value as a tool. Does it have any importance for itself? That's the question. My answer is going to be no. Does everybody understand what I'm saying? I haven't said why I should believe that yet, but I'll get to this. I'm going to make sure everybody says what I'm saying.
So an absence of freedom is not enough for its own self.
That's right. An absence of freedom in and of itself, whether that hurts, whether that's bad, depends upon the conditions. It's not automatically, my view, not automatically bad. It's not automatically a demerit.
But it doesn't take away from it.
Well, that's the question. Will it take away? Let me give you a couple of hints, and then I'm going to give you what I think is pretty strong as an argument. Let me give you a couple of hints. This is parallel to something I said about 12 minutes ago. Let's imagine that in our tyrannical Israeli government, run by the most corrupt judges and, okay, we're not doing politics. They pass a law. And this law says no Israeli citizen is allowed, every Israeli citizen is forbidden by law to jump 150 feet into the air by his own legs. Wow. Gosh, what's that? Now, one might be upset with the government for wasting its time in ways like that, but is anybody going to be upset about losing this freedom?
Somebody will be.
Yeah, he's right. Somebody will be. I should have asked that differently. Is there any reason to be upset with losing this freedom? Yeah, quite right. The world is filled with unreasonable people. But I'm... like, what? Wouldn't someone say, well, yeah, they made the law, and true, it means that you can't do it, but nobody can do it anyway. So, what difference does it make whether there's a law against it? Imagine a person who is in his deathbed, go back to the deathbed case, he's got 5 minutes to live, and the government erects an electric fence encircling his whole house at a 100-mile radius. 100 miles from his house, going all the way around, 314.16, etc. miles in circumference. Right? All around, electrical fence. It says, fella, you're not leaving here. We have taken away your freedom to move beyond 100 miles from your house. But he's going to be dead in 5 minutes. Where's he going to go in 5 minutes? So, has he lost freedom? Yes, there's something he can't do. But since it's something that he wasn't doing anyway, wasn't planning to do, even if someone would fly in a helicopter, which could get him that far, he's not interested in going. You know, he's living out his last minutes in whatever way he wants, whatever way he is.
Why do you have to give a case with somebody that's going to die?
I don't have to. The case of the 150 feet in the air is for everybody. It's not people who are going to die. Right?
Well, let's say somebody puts around the electric gate on the normal person's house.
Oh, but there I might feel that depriving him of his freedom is a loss. He's being victimized. He's being hurt.
So then the freedom is a thing?
Oh, but then the question will be, listen carefully, everyone agrees freedom is valuable. Everyone agrees to that. I said that at the beginning, that I agree that freedom is valuable. The only question is, what kind of value does it have? Car keys or pleasure? So to say that for a normal person, I put up the wall, loses his freedom, and that's bad, everybody agrees on that. The question is, why is it bad? Is it bad simply because he's not free? Or is it bad because he was going to do things with his freedom and you stopped him from doing those things?
But people could be upset also, even on death, who are you to take away, who do you think you are?
Answer to them. People can be upset about anything, you know, they can be upset that the sky is blue. The question is whether there's, on balance, any reason to be upset. You know, you have a grudge against people who do things because they don't like what they do, but the question is whether or not you have really lost something of value, whether there's any real value here, a value that could be appreciated by somebody else. Well, this is a little subtle, but since you raised it, he says, the guy's 5 minutes to left to go, and they put up a fence 100 miles from his home, you can't move out of the fence, and he says, true, I wasn't going there, but boy, are you bums for doing that. Who are you to tell me where I can go? I don't want to go. Lynn, you're not going anyway. But I don't want to be told by anybody what to do. It makes me angry that I'm being told that I can't do what I want to do. Is it his loss of freedom that's bad here? Or is it his knowing that he's lost freedom that's bad here? Suppose they put up the fence and don't tell him. He still doesn't have the freedom. Because the fence is up. He can't go. Is there anything wrong now? He's not upset because he doesn't know it. He's not even hurting. They just put up the fence, that's all. He's not free.
That could be with anything. That could be the promise given.
It can't be with pain. Can't be with pain. Because if you're in pain, you'll know it.
But if it's talking about the concept of freedom,
that's
how that you should know that if you know, would it bother you? Why would it bother you if you know?
No, if I know what they're bothering, then it's psychological. People can be bothered by all sorts of things. I don't like being left-handed. It really bothers me.
No, but nobody likes someone. If I have freedom, right, and you take away, even if I can't get it, who are you to take away something that I have, that even though I can't get it, but it's something that you're taking something from me and taking it away, even if I don't have it.
Well,
something I have that you take away. Who are you to take away something of mine?
Yeah, but you see, you're right about the way people feel. What I'm trying to point out is that
I was telling about my deathbed phone for the fight about who are you. I mean,
I
want to get angry because I'm on a deathbed. I might as well enjoy the last 5 minutes I'm chilling. You know what I'm saying? But if somebody put a fence around me, I'll be like, who are you to have a right? Even though I'm gone, but who are you to put a fence around my place? Who are you to tell me that I can't leave 100 miles now? Even though I can't, but who are you? That's the way I would picture the same. I'd picture myself if I was in that situation.
I know.
His way from death, he would not care if they put up a fence right
here. Man, if Bubba's telling you, he would care. He would care. I wouldn't get angry about it. I wouldn't be telling that, I'll think about it for a second, then I'll realize I'm dying, but it would still bother me.
Well, let me ask you about the first case.
Holla.
Would it bother you that they make a law that you can't jump 150 feet into the air? Who are you to tell me where I can't jump? But it's something which is out of your life anyway. So, you know, no one is allowed to hold his breath for 3 hours straight. We don't allow that. What difference does it make, right? After 2 minutes, you're going to be unconscious anyhow. You'll be lying on the floor and breathing. So, you know.
Probably the one thing to trick somebody to get it.
Say again?
Sorry. I'm going to add to you. I'm going to think they're out. I'm going to find one at a 5-1 study. So, what he said, as far as his point, I think it still stands.
Why wouldn't you be upset about jumping 150 feet into the air? Who are you to tell me what to do?
Originally, he's upset because of their attitude. They can't possibly constrict anybody by telling them not to jump 150 feet in the air.
That's right.
With the fence, they don't know
who's
dying.
Oh, so maybe this is the point then. It's not that they took away my freedom, because the freedom they took away is trivial. I can't use it anyhow.
Is that who are you to tell me?
So then what you're angry at is there are people with those kinds of attitudes and those kinds of actions. Not that the action hurts you.
Yeah.
You know, it's like this. Someone wants to injure me, but he mistook somebody else for me, and he injured the other guy. Didn't even get close to me, because he thought the other guy was me, right? Now, should I be angry at him? I could be angry, yeah, because, you know, look at his attitude. But I'm only angry at his attitude, not angry at what he did. He didn't hit me.
But freedom is something that I have. That's me. I could do whatever I want to do because I could do whatever I want to do. You know what I'm saying? I don't mean like that. I mean so if once you take that away, then it's something that I have, even though I can't do it anyways, it's something that, whatever, I consider arguing very stupid. But you hear what I'm saying? You hear my point?
I hear what you're saying, but I want to know whether, on consideration, there's any reason to feel that. I mean, people have feelings which they, on reason, on reconsideration, think, but I shouldn't feel that way because I really didn't get hurt. Someone's trying to hurt me and really benefits me. Oh, I remember my example. Yeah, you're doing sports, and your coach is anti-Semitic. And because he's anti-Semitic, he makes you work harder than all the other athletes, and as a result of it, you become the best athlete. So now, he really benefited you. When you look back, you don't say, gosh, I wish he hadn't done that. Gosh, I wish I had had a nice guy for a coach. I wouldn't be the athlete that I am. Because he kicked me around and pushed me, huh?
Okay, fine.
His intentions are arbitrarily tied to the end. His intentions are arbitrarily tied to the end and the result.
Correct. Correct. But now, what am I upset about? That's right. But I'm not upset about what he did to me. So that's my example here. My example here was someone taking away my freedom. Is my loss of freedom bad?
When I'm upset, I'm not upset because I lost freedom. I'm upset because there are nasty people. He's a nasty guy, and I wish the world didn't have nasty people in it. But I'm not upset about what he did to me. That's the point that I'm making. The fact that I'm upset about who he is because he's a bum doesn't mean that I'm upset about what he did to me. What he did to me, I have to evaluate in terms of my own life. Did he hurt me or didn't he hurt me? The running coach helped me. This guy, by taking away freedom, since it's not a freedom I was going to use anyway, seems to me, doesn't hurt me. I want to get to the objective side now. We're talking subjective now. We're talking about how you feel. I want to move to the objective side. Last question, I'm moving on.
What happens if you're giving freedom away prematurely? Like, what happens if someone invents something to jump, make you jump 200 feet in the air?
Yeah. Okay, so this is a problem. This is a problem. Now, I have to tell you that in philosophy, we make up examples to prove a point. And since we're making up the example, we get to make it up however we like. Since it's our point. And so I just make up the example that nobody's going to ever invent anything that will make him use the freedom. See? Now let's talk about that example. Is it a real world example? No, because you can never tell what will happen. You're right, they might get a pill and you can't jump, but I'm not talking about the real world. I'm talking about one example. Okay, now, as I said, this is subjective. I want to move it objective. And here's the way I want to do it. I want to give you three cases. The third case is the real one. I'm giving you the first two just to show you how the logic works or doesn't work, and then I'll get to the third one. Is everybody else warm as I'm warm, or is everybody else?
Yes, pretty hot.
Open this window about halfway, and open that window about halfway. I will get a little motion. Thanks. Let's imagine, we're thinking now about people who lose their freedom, and if it's bad, why is it bad? Let's imagine you have a surgeon. This guy does very, very difficult surgery, and he saves people lives and helps people recover their health. And he's very generous. For poor people, he does the surgery free. And you know, lovely, lovely, important person. And there are thieves who make their money by kidnapping people and holding them for ransom. They kidnap this guy, they write to his family, you know, we have him, we want $1 million. And they hold him in a shed in the forest while they're waiting for the ransom to be paid. So he's locked up in the shed for 2 weeks. I think we would all agree that's bad. He's lost his freedom and that's bad. Question is, why is it bad? Now here, if he's in the shed, he's not doing surgery. So that's a gigantic loss of what he could do with the freedom. There the freedom is car keys. Or at least, it's at least car keys. With his freedom, he could do tremendously good things. That's why we're upset that he lost his freedom. There, I can't tell whether also the freedom was important for itself, and it's a double loss. Could be, could not be. It's hard to tell because it's so overwhelming, the fact that it's useful for people who are sick, that it's hard to isolate the issue of whether it could be important for itself. Second case, Al Capone, who makes his living and gets his enjoyment from shooting up his enemies and extorting money from widows and orphans, you know, and running liquor, and he's not a real nice guy. Now these enterprising thieves realize that Al Capone must be pretty wealthy. So they kidnap him and hold him in the shed in the woods for 2 weeks until they get their $1 million. So Al Capone is locked up in the shed for 2 weeks. Loses his freedom. Well, we think, that's terrific. You know, I'd like to have Al Capone locked up all the time, not just for 2 weeks. Why is it terrific? Because with his freedom, he uses it as a submachine gun, not car keys, but a submachine gun, to shoot up other people. He uses that tool to do terrible things. By locking him up, I prevent those terrible things. So here again, I'm looking at what the freedom does, not what it is. Maybe one could say, locking Al Capone up has two effects. Number one, it saves all the widows and orphans, which is terrific, because he was going to do tremendous evil with his freedom. And also, there's a little tiny loss that he lost his freedom, and that loss is a loss in and of itself, but the good is so good it outweighs it, and therefore it's wonderful to lock him up.
Still does something.
What does what?
Freedom can't stop widows from dying.
Freedom kills widows.
Yeah.
His freedom kills widows. Doesn't stop them from dying, it kills them. When he's free, he kills widows. The freedom stops him from killing widows. I'm sorry, locking up. The locking up stops him from killing widows.
How about examples like widows?
One second. I said the third example was the proof, right? Now, the third example is this. I'm trying to find an example in between. We have the surgeon who's great. We have Al Capone who's terrible. I want a guy right in the middle. You know, the surgeon is white. Al Capone is black. I want gray. Gray. London. You know, Fox.
Gray.
So here's my gray. I have a guy. I call him the hobo. This guy lives at the city dump. He eats day-old food as it's dumped in by the garbage trucks. He eats about two meals a day of this oldish food. Nobody knows him. He doesn't know anybody. When he gets bored with the city dump, he jumps on a freight train, arrives to the next city, gets off, goes to the city dump, and lives in the city dump. That's his life. If you were to ask him, how's your life? He would say it's blah. Not very good. It's not very bad. It's blah. I have a blah life. Two regular meals a day. Day old food. Don't pay any taxes. Nobody chases me. I don't chase anybody else. Blah. That's my life. Blah. Now, my example, right? From my point, that's his life from beginning to the end of his life. He's never going to be discovered by a sociologist, and no experimental educational program is going to make him into Einstein, and he's never going to develop a taste in music, or meet some other woman traveling the trains and fall in love with her. That's his life from beginning to end, isolated, alone, blah. Now, our friends, the kidnappers, have noticed this guy, and they are sure that he is George Soros in disguise. So they kidnap him, and they take him to the shed in the forest, lock him up, and they send emails to the Soros family. They're multi-billionaires. You know, send us $1 million so your George can get out of our captivity. In the shed, they feed him twice a day. They're leftovers from the previous couple of days. But you ask him, how's your life in the shed? His answer is going to be, I'm sure you know the chorus, you can guess, it's blah. It's not very good. It's not very bad. Do you have a desire to get to the next city dump? Not particularly. Why should I? I'm eating here just as I eat there. Do you miss the fresh air and the birds? Not really. Suppose they took off your handcuffs, unlocked the door, but offered to put two meals a day in the cabin. What would you do? I'd stay here. I have no particular reason to leave. I'd stay here. Until I got bored, which would probably be 6 months from now, and then I'd go on to the next city dump. You know, this is my life. Now I want to ask you, is locking him up bad? Is anything lost here? Is there any terrible evil done to him, to the world, by locking him up?
Then it's not called freedom.
Freedom is the ability to do.
What's the definition of freedom?
After all, didn't we say that if they outlaw jumping 150 feet in the air, you've lost freedom? Putting up the fence around your house means you lose freedom. It means there are things which, if I want to do them, I can't do.
I can't do them?
My freedom. I lose freedom when there's something that I want to do, I can't do. Right.
And what if it's something that I can't do that I want to do that now I can't do?
But you couldn't do it before also?
Yeah. So that I lose my freedom. Freedom is something that I want to do. Now because you did
no.
it, I can't do it anymore.
No. If you say that, then you prejudice the case. Freedom has to be objective, not subjective. Freedom means it's now become impossible for me to do something.
Well, I couldn't do it before anyway. So it wasn't freedom. I couldn't do it. Freedom, you just said that's something I want to do that I can't do. Freedom's taking away something that I want to do that I can't do.
No,
I can't.
No, you don't have to want to do it. On the contrary, my whole point
is... But tell me that if I want to do it, I could do it.
If I would want. If I would want. Not that I do want. If I would want.
You
Well, I wouldn't want to walk the 100 miles now because I'm on my deathbed.
Okay.
So therefore, you're not taking anything away from me. If
no!
I was, then I would do it.
No. Think again. The definition of freedom is that if I would want to do it, you're stopping me from, you have stopped me from doing it. Not that I do want, but if I would want.
That's what you are arguing for.
That's the whole point here. The whole point here is to ask, what happens if somebody stops from doing something which I don't want to do? That's the whole point. The whole point is to ask in that kind of case. So here, they locked him up. They put him in handcuffs and they locked him up. He definitely has lost freedom. But he's lost the freedom he doesn't want. My point is that this, in this case, freedom for the hobo is, it doesn't do anything. And because it doesn't do anything, it isn't worth anything. Now, I've got to finish before the hour's up. So let me just make the move that I wanted to make. I said I wanted to make it objective. Forget about what he wants. Because we know he doesn't want anything. He's just as happy there as he is anyplace else, and he's satisfied, and he's not looking to get away. In that kind of case, suppose I have it in my power to set him free. Should I do it? The kidnappers want a ransom. Should I give them the money? Let's imagine that they're asking for $100 ransom. I can give them $100, or I can buy 20 ice cream cones for 20 kids and give it to them. Suppose it's $5. $5 to buy his freedom, or $5 to buy one ice cream cone for one kid. Which would be the better buy? Which will make the world a better place? Which is the one that realizes more value?
For the kids.
I think buying the ice cream is a better value. Because buying the ice cream makes one kid happy for 10 minutes. Whereas buying his freedom doesn't make anybody happy at all. It doesn't build anything. It doesn't to grow anything. It doesn't relieve pain. It doesn't produce happiness. It doesn't fulfill promises. It doesn't do anything. Now, if you agree that, I'm speaking from the third person's point of view now, not him. I'm here with the money. I want to do things that are good for the world. They want $5 to let him go. I got $5 to spend. I think his freedom isn't worth anything. I, who want to do the best for the world with my resources, shouldn't expend a penny on his freedom. Because it doesn't make the world a better place. Doesn't do anything for the world. Doesn't lift the world up. If that's true, then freedom only is important because with freedom you can do important things. Not because it's important for itself. From this comes out two consequences that I would have you think about. And if you want, if you think about problems or questions, I mean, if you want to start with this tomorrow, I'm happy to. One thing is, if you can help make people free, more free, you should ask yourself, whose freedom is worth it? Not everyone's freedom is equal. It depends upon what they're going to do with the freedom. And then you're going to have some freedoms and some people for whom it's very important, and some people for whom it's much less important, and some people for whom it will be self-destructive to be free. And then you don't want to give them the freedom, like children. So you don't just promote freedom, but you become selective. You have to evaluate what the consequences of the freedom will be. And secondly, this is clearly the Torah's point of view. I've just been giving you some philosophical reasons for it, but this is clearly the Torah's point of view. You say in the end of the third paragraph of Shema, twice a day, I am Hashem, your God, who took you out of the land of Egypt to be your God. That's why I took you out. I didn't take you out because freedom is good, and therefore it justifies itself. It's good, it's good. No, I took you out to be your God. It was an investment in a certain relationship with you. And, as in fact, as I said last week, 2 weeks ago, when Moshe Rabbeinu objected to a Kodesh Baruch Hu, who are these people that I should go down and take them out of Egypt? And God said, you're right. You're right. Look at them now. You don't see anything. You don't see that it's worth it to take them out. But when they come out, Ta'avdun as Elokim al Haaretz, they'll serve a Kodesh Baruch Hu on this mountain. So I say take them out now as an investment in their future. Not because of what's of the situation right now, but only because of what they'll do with it. Yeah.
In the case between giving $5 to $5 for the kid, or releasing the guy for $5, full of this money as soon as parted anyway. So if you don't know both situations, you might as well throw your money away in the case by not knowing both situations.
Why? Understand, I'm not giving the money to the kid, and I'm not giving the money to the hobo. I'm not doing it in either case. I'm buying the ice cream cone for the kid and handing him the ice cream cone.
Okay.
I'm giving the money to the kidnappers, so they should let him go. It's not a question of a fool whose money is soon parted. I'm buying the service. I'm not giving the money to the people. So the hobo will really be free. The kidnappers will unlock the door and just leave them. But he'll sit there. He's not leaving the hut. He enjoys being in the shed as much as he enjoys anything else. Until he gets tired of it, he's going to stay there. So what did I give him? It's precisely the ability to do what he doesn't want to do. Yeah.
You spoke of the second case, the alcohol case, and you said that so most of it is obviously very, it's good that he's in there. You said there might be one small point of freedom that he's remained according to the same point that he was at all.
Correct. My only point there was that you can't prove him, Malcolm. Someone who will say, but isn't it good to lock him up? So clearly being free doesn't have any value for itself. The answer is no. It could just be so overshadowed by the badness of what he's going to do with his freedom, you can't see it. You don't feel it in the picture. The problem with the surgeon and Al Capone is that, for all you know, they could be double cases rather than a single case. Correct. But you can't move it from there. Because looking at it is hard to see whether it's a double case or a single case. Here, that's why I worked hard to construct the hobo. But there, I think it's a single case. There's nothing going on there. There's just nothing comes out of it. And the important point is, since nothing comes out of it, it's not worth anything. That's the crucial point. So that means, when you look at it, all you're looking at is what comes out of it. Which means it's really car keys. Will it start my car, or won't it start my car?
But if the hobo would want to leave, he can't leave.
Correct. That's a new case. Correct. That's why he's not free. When they lock him up, the definition of being locked up is, if you would want to go, you can't go. That's why he's locked up. But now when I put in the fact that he doesn't want to go, and his going wouldn't make any, the freedom wouldn't make any difference to anybody, so then it seems to me it's not worth a penny to invest in getting his freedom. He's not going to do anything with his freedom. Nobody's going to do anything with his freedom. His freedom won't move the world in any way whatsoever. If so, the freedom is really worth it. That's what I think. Okay.